I'm Norm Everest. I'd like to begin by sharing a memory of mine that might be similar to yours as well. When I was quite small, I had a sister who's 2 years older than myself, so she went to school before I did. I can remember riding on my tricycle with my mother, beside, of course, going to pick my sister up from school. And I can remember the sense of waiting until I'm old enough to go to kindergarten. It seemed like much of childhood was that sense of waiting until I'm in third grade, 3A, when you can go from classroom to classroom and have math in one room and physical education in another room. Or until I'm big enough to go to junior high school. Or until I'm able to be like those really big kids in high school. Until I can get a driver's license. Until I can go on my first date. Until I can go to college. Until I can get my job. Until I can get married. Until I have children. I remember one time in the fall of, well, it was about October, and we were living in Detroit. And I had done all those things. And I was married, and I had children. And I looked around my house and said, is this it? Somehow adulthood had arrived with all of those promises. And I thought, what is it to be an adult? Is it just waiting to grow up, and then you kind of drop off the edge? I think sometimes we have that concept of adulthood, that it's sort of an uphill, you know, wait until you're old enough to. And then kind of a plateau. Adulthood is just sort of one blob of steady whatever. You kind of drop off at the other end. Well, in the past few years, of course, we've learned so much more about adulthood. Please come join us. And we've become acquainted with the various stages of adulthood. The fact that adulthood is not one plateau, not one steady nothingness, but lots of ups and downs and growings and whatever. Adulthood is a very interesting, please come and join us in the front row if you care to, because then you'll just about fill in our whole space here. Adulthood is a rich time of life in which many things happen. But adult, the word adult, has some varieties of connotations. And just for a few moments, I'd like for us to explore that together. In fact, if you think about adult bookstore, you know, what do you think about? Or adult movies. In fact, we thought about entitling this session, Is Adult Education Rated X? What? Maybe we'd had crowds here. They'd think we're going to show some movies. But just for a few moments, let's explore that a bit together. What does it mean to you to be an adult? What does that word adult signify, either in society or for yourself personally? Let's just spell that out a bit.
Responsibility.
Aha. Oh, wow. That's a heavy one to begin.
Yep.
An adult is responsible. Grow up and be responsible. What other kind of stuff?
Free.
Oh, I like that.
And at the same time, it's commitment.
Commitments. Okay.
Fun.
Fun. Adults aren't supposed to have fun. They're supposed to work.
Yeah.
Privileges.
Privileges. What else? Some things associated with being an adult. Adult is one who can. What comes to mind?
Cope.
Drink legally.
Drink.
Definitely have the privileges.
Okay. What else can an adult do?
Make choices.
Make choices. A lot of adults can't very well. What? Vote.
Get drafted.
Be drafted. Adult is someone who's old enough to die for his country.
Lead.
Lead.
follow.
Go bankrupt. You can legal. I don't know how old you have to be to legally go bankrupt.
The job never has to happen.
Oh. That's certainly true through the eyes of the child, because an adult has to put on this, I know what I'm doing, kind of thing.
Well, not all adults have never had jobs. I mean, a lot of them have to go.
Well, let's take that as a cue then. There's some truth and some fallacy levels in each of these, isn't there? Not all adults can cope, and adults do doubt. But with that image I have of being an adult, then somehow I can cope. So if I can't cope, I'm not adult, or I have to fake it. What's some of the other? Let's unpack these a bit.
Responsibility came to my mind also as the first word, but along with it came not being able to escape responsibility when you're a child. Sometimes there will be somebody there to pick up the pieces if you're not responsible. However, as an adult, there's sometimes not those people who are as sort of a backup system. It's all on you.
So you have to live with the consequences. That's heavy? Heavy kind of feeling? I get awfully tired of being a responsible adult. Sometimes I wish that fun. One time I was working with a group in this subject, and we were kind of, you know, thinking off the tops of our heads, and someone said, oh, I get so tired of being, this was a heavy, heavy column over here that they put up. I mean, it was so adult, so responsible. And I said, I'd like to be a child. I'd like to go out and play. I said, oh, that's assuming adults don't play. Gabriel Moran, in a book called Education Toward Adulthood, talks about the concept of adulthood and talks about the pornographic kind of sense of it. Again, this sense of X-rated movies, that I'm old enough to legally sin. Even that drinking sense is in there, which has all sorts of other connotations in that assumes that childhood is a pure time, which for us in our doctrine of sin and grace is not true. Both children and adults are sinners and saints. But in our society, we have that kind of sense of innocence of childhood, and then you're old and, quotes, wise enough to see the world the way it really is, which for some means freedom, others means a sense of despair. So there's that whole level of thinking that's rather as though adulthood is a tainted time of life. That's rather interesting. Go ahead.
Then you could argue the other way. You're coming into your own too. You know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and you have to grow up. And I feel much better. I'm happier than I'm an adult now. I wouldn't want to be a child anymore. I really wouldn't.
So
there's
it's
many more problems.
It's a neat place to be.
But yeah, I really feel that way. And I think the problems they have to face now, we didn't have.
My husband always says that adults are growing ups.
Yeah, that's
and I like that term. Yeah. But it's a good thing. And certainly Paul.
Huh? Yeah.
Paul doesn't have much of a concept of educational ministry for children. Children for Paul is not all that neat a state. We have a God who wants us to grow. Now, when you think about that, so that's rather interesting. God doesn't get kicks out of keeping us dependent. Because God is secure enough, God doesn't need us to be less than we are. I think in the church many times, we get our kicks out of keeping other people childlike. so that we can be the expert, so we can have the knowledge to, quote, teach them, if teaching has that concept, which I think is a negative concept, of lording it over someone. And when you think of New Testament, it is really remarkable how much of it is growing up into the fullness of being who we are. So if we are less than we are, not really as free and coping and independence, another word we could have put up here, it's a good thing to be. Our society often, at the other end of moving from adolescence to adulthood, moving through adulthood to older adulthood, if these are some of the concepts of adulthood, of being responsible, or often adulthood is equated with money in our society too. A wage earner. You're an adult when you can make, you know, earn your own money. That in our society, older adults who are not making money anymore are not thought of as adults or as people anymore. They're not productive. Adult is a productive person. Well, our Christian gospel would say productive, yes, but not, you know, a godlike producer. In fact, adulthood is a kind of interdependence. Anything else you want to flesh out on this before we move on a bit?
You were talking a little bit about in the church and lording it over. I kind of see another dilemma also in that, to me, it's kind of discouraging and despairing in that there are many people maybe who see Christian adulthood at a certain level and feel like they have never achieved it. And so there are not many people who are willing to give or volunteer or commit because they don't feel like they've attained that level.
Okay, so I have a perfection, mm-hmm. The model of the perfect Christian. Let me use that as a springboard to move ahead, because I think that leads me at least into some other things I want to share with you, and that is that somehow that Christianity is a sort of a plateau you need to reach. And you can't ever be a teacher of other folk unless you're at that level. So finding fifth grade Sunday school teachers is a real hassle, except for folk who think, I've got to do it because my kid's in fourth grade.
Next year. That's why they don't.
it's my belief that we are all teachers and learners in a Christian learning community. And that concept is very different than the hierarchical one, which says, you know, here's the little people down here and you grow up and these are the big important people and so on. That really the most important thing that happens to Christians has already happened, and that's our baptism. So that there's no more that needs to happen for a Christian to really be a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean we're done, but in some ways, well, both and. Yes, we're done. People sometimes say, we've done our kid at baptism, we had him done, you know, kind of poured on or something. As though that were the end. It's not the end, but it's a dying and rising, which is a completion, which is a beginning. It's a paradoxical kind of thing. Which is quite different from a concept of education, which means, which has to do with accomplishing. You have to finish this unit in algebra before you can go on to this unit, and then this unit, you know, which is a more linear concept. When you think about educational ministry, all that really needs to be done has been done. And that leaves open everything else to begin to do and to learn. But it's not so that I can attain godliness. Yeah. I am redeemed, I'm a new person, I'm alive in Christ, so that now I can learn so much more about God's creation and be growing up. I think the church has often had a concept of education which is much like the world's, that we will give them things to learn, then they'll grow up and then minister, then they'll do, then they'll be on committees in the church. Christian education is for kids, and work in the church is for adults. if all of us are teachers and learners in a Christian learning community, then the child as well as the adult is a minister, and the adult as well as the child is a learner. And if all has already been accomplished in Jesus Christ and in our baptism, then I might as well learn from a 7-year-old as from someone who's 10 years older than me, and we're all teaching and learning with one another all the time. And that makes a whole different kind of way of how we go about framing our life together in Christian communities. I think when we have associated education with people who are young or small, we'll talk more about this on Friday, we talk about male-female roles, it has been more appropriate for men to grow up into adulthood in our society than women. To be responsible, to be independent, all of those adjectives we had up there before, women were sort of supposed to be responsible and independent, but not too independent, not too responsible. They were to continue to be dependent in a way. So it's not surprising that our churches across the land, it is okay for women to continue to go to Bible study and not for men, if we have that concept of education in the church. If you've grown up and know everything, then it would be demeaning, or you'd be less than an adult, particularly an adult man, if you were to say that you don't know something. And then it's hard to ever start. So it's really a burden for men, I think, that we've cheated them out of it because we have a false concept of adulthood and of learning. And so that if they do come to Bible class and maybe don't know where to find the book of Job or whatever, it's unmanly, unadult-like to say that one is still a learner. Well, we can talk more about that on Friday. There are some characteristics, learning characteristics of adult that a man by the name of Malcolm Knowles, and if you work with Malcolm Knowles concepts, okay, let me share a few of those. And then I'd like for us to think about how we as adults learn, if we think it's okay to still learn as adults. Okay. Malcolm Knowles says that we've had a pedagogical concept of education in which learning, to be a learner was to be dependent. And this kind of learning is directed. You will learn this, you will do page 22 today. Do not look ahead to page 23. We're going to do that on Friday. No. It's directed. We are going to study about Navajo Indians today, not another tribe. This is what we're, very directed what we have to learn. Transmissive. In other words, it is teacher transmitting knowledge or whatever to children. It is subject-centered. We are going to learn about a certain subject. This is the subject for this hour, for this day. The view of experience is that which happens to us. We're sort of dependent upon or passive to experiences. And the self-concept is of that of student. You ask a child, who are you? I'm a fifth grader. Self-concept of learning. And he uses a term, andragogy. We could probably say anthropagogy, but maybe I'd just rather say adult learning model. And that is that learning for the adult, independent or interdependent. The adult learner wants to be independent. I mean, adult is independent. And to be thought of as dependent on someone else's knowledge or whatever other is not a helpful thing for adults. And think about yourself as we talk about this, but also other adults that you know. And to me, that fits the concept you were talking about earlier, about to be grown up to the fullness of who you are, and the idea that God wants us to be interdependent, and even more so wants us to be interdependent, the whole body of Christ kind of concept. Fully who we are, not using one another as crutches, fully independent so we can be interdependent. That's a whole different concept of the learner. And it's very frightening for some teachers, for the people in their classes to be all that they can be. One cannot dominate them. Dominate, lord over,
One cannot, quotes, control them. What if they get out of control? That whole concept of growing up to be all that we can be.
Self-directed.
There's a man by the name of Alan Tuff who's written a book that talks about the fact that 70% of the learning that adults do in our society is invisible. In other words, it's not that adults are in classes that you can measure, but they're learning all the time in self-directed ways. If you need to, I just crossed the country for the first time on my own, and I needed to learn some things about the car. So it's self-directed. Or a cerebral palsy child is born into my family, and all of a sudden I need to know a lot about cerebral palsy. Think of your own learning in your life that you've done in the past year, and how much of it is self-directed. And related to that is that it's problem-solving centered. And adults who have been away from school for a while come back and do not want to be told to read chapter 3 today and don't read chapter 4 until Friday. Problem solving. And really want to get to the point of it right away. There's a mutuality of learning, which is different than transmissive. Isn't my point, I usually be right. Pouring something into your head like a funnel. Lecture mode. Lecture is fine in its place, but it's not the only mode of education. A mutuality, case study method, experiential learning, small group learning, all sorts of things we are sharing with one another. Experience for the adult is not that which happens to me. Let's see, next year this will happen to me if I'm 5 years old, but rather who we are. So we bring to each other as we gather. I mean, fantastic amount. I mean, if we were to add up all the places that you and I have been in our lifetime, in this room, we would have a geography lesson that could go on all week, right? Or a history lesson that could go on all week. Experience is who we are and what we bring, so it makes no sense at all for one person to talk all the time and the other people, you know, just to sit there. One time when I was working in a nursing home, just giving devotions, the pastor goes in to give devotions, and we did a thing on remembering, and all that elicited from these people, who are not marked as people anymore because they are less than productive in a nursing home, but all that they remembered and brought to one another, I came back the next week and they said, they went on all day, just sort of stirred up. All that they were as a resource to one another in their own learning. Okay, and self-concept is of adult in society. An adult learner is not the Sunday morning Bible class attender. I mean, you don't say, who are you? Well, I go to Sunday school on Sunday. That's who I am. And yet, often our educational ministry programs treat people that way. We begin from a program and have people beg people to come to it, rather than beginning from people and thinking all adults do learn. That old adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is not true. Adults are learning all the time, and we are changing all the time. We are learning new things all the time, or we are learning some things again and again and again. And tomorrow when we talk about what our vocation teaches us, we'll explore that a bit, because the person who works on an assembly line is learning one thing over and over and over, reinforcement again and again. But adults are learning new things and some things over and over, and in self-directed and mutually oriented ways. Well, with that, and I would like for us to talk about how we as adults learn or like to learn. I think I should ask that second question first, because so often we're kind of duty-bound. Let's see, I should go to this, that's how I learn. Just give ourselves a second or two to think. In the past few months, some experiences of learning, something that you've enjoyed doing, and then ask that question, how do you learn well? How do you like to learn?
alone in a group, lecture, experience, hands-on? I don't know. How do you like to learn? I think I'm going to invite us to go around. Huh? Would that be okay? Is it okay if I start over here with you? How do you like to learn? How do you learn well?
Well, it has to be something that's exciting and stimulating. And I suppose on a subject that's interesting to me,
okay.
It would be different than someone else.
Today you must learn about the geography of Kansas. That's not going to turn you on. Stimulate. You like a stimulus. Okay. Great. I'm tempted to erase this and write it all down, but I think that I want to just listen and think. That's neat, though, that you know that about yourself. I often talk about creating safe learning environments, and you would create a learning environment for yourself. Adults do that. If they're free to. Food, comfortable, book, alone, neat. Kind of cozy place.
Yeah. No demands.
No demands. Yeah, how about you?
And I was thinking back through high school and college, and I barely got through college because the courses that I did well in were the courses I wanted to take. And I didn't want to take anything until I was about junior and senior where you could pick. Mm-hmm. What to take. Mm-hmm. All the other ones I barely got through. And then it wasn't until graduate school later that I was able, because I picked this field, that's what I wanted to learn in. Mm-hmm. And I did fine.
And it made a difference.
Oh, yeah.
In how well you learned.
Mm-hmm. But I, in actual method situations, I like the variety. I could sit in a class, be lecturing at it, and the lecture was good. If it was a subject that I had chosen. I like the small group, and I like, I do a lot of reading. And I also noticed that I don't like to read in every field or, all types of books. There's only certain things that I really enjoy reading about.
Mm-hmm. So you've narrowed your focus. I think sometimes we do narrow our focus a bit to then broaden it later. But it's in that choosing. It's important.
And everything that I've learned, I've always been able to build on. I've been able to change fields and vocation.
So nothing's really lost.
No.
That's
all been added on.
That's interesting to know, yeah.
Because I can remember back to college, the things that I learned then that I still utilize and are built on. Mm-hmm.
And isn't that remarkable? As human beings, we're created to remember. I mean, God created us differently, but that we can build on that is really a remarkable gift.
Or he punished us.
Yeah, it sifted out some of that stuff. It's interesting, yeah.
I was thinking the last 2 months I started a new job, and how I was thinking how I learned how to do it. And I'm in the position of being a director, and I was just given like a brief training in session, then it was just, okay, this is you, and you go ahead and do it. And I like the fact that I can make my own choices and make my own changes and learn by the doing of it. Mm-hmm. And feeling that I was in charge and could do the things that I wanted to do.
I'm writing this on an imaginary blackboard. Are you right? Maybe you're taking notes. Take notes on this, because what we're going to come up with, here is all the characteristics of adult learners here. That's neat. For some people, that's very threatening and very scary. But you like that. Hands-on, do it. Being in charge of your own action. Gladys, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm a teacher, and I think and I've known all my life I was going to be a teacher from the time I could sit down and read, that this is what I wanted to do. And so I'm just always really interested in learning new things. And I think the computer age has made me learn some new things that I really wouldn't ordinarily have had an interest in. But when your first graders have computers, you better learn how to use them. So one of the things I've learned to use briefly, really, really moderately this year, is a computer, and it's very interesting, to see the children be so stimulated. They have marvelous learning programs for them in the schools, and we have them. And then I was thinking, well, really, the reasons that I like to learn things, there's always something interesting out there. Some of it's necessity. 3 grandchildren, and I got myself into this bind of making a quilt for each grandchild that comes along. Well, I can applique the first two, the third one. I'm going to try that machine applique. It sure looks neat. Or never, never start a quilt with applique if you've never tried it before. So I'm really learning. It's a mess, but it's getting better.
It's either that or stop having grandchildren.
It's really exciting now to me because now the rainbow, it's a Noah's Ark, and all the animals are kind of belong together. I mean, it's not good. But the rainbow is getting better. I'm getting better, so I started to enjoy what I'm doing. And the other thing that we're interested in is music, and we go to a community choir that's directed by a very, very capable director, and every week we go, it's so exciting. He knows maybe something about the composer or the type of music or the period, and it's just, we can hardly wait to go and sing because it's so stimulating. So I guess it's necessity and stimulation that make it fun. I can hardly wait till I retire because there's so many unique things out there. I don't have time to take classes.
I don't know you well. We met earlier this morning, but I see you as a person for whom teaching and learning are really yoked.
Oh,
is that true?
I'm not, as in
the giving and teaching, it becomes more yours, and that opens you up to more, to be curious about more things.
Yeah, I just wish I were more daring to dare try one of the things I really believe in that I can pressure them. I'll yield to pressures.
One other characteristic of adults is that, I mean, we do not like to be embarrassed. It is a mark of an adult in our society that we are capable, cope, all that business. I remember a few years ago going to a cancer sewing meeting, cancer pad sewing, whatever, and I didn't know how to do this. And the person who was telling me how to do it, unlike your situation at work, was treating me very much as though I knew nothing. Well, I did know nothing, but I didn't want to feel like I knew nothing. I wanted to feel I could do it. And if it were self-directed, me and the sewing machine, I could make my mistakes and not feel like, quotes, a five-year-old. So that it was a humiliating experience. I think that's important for us to remember when we're working with adults, that necessity of, well, the older we get, the more things we can do. It is scarier to do things we can't do.
Yeah, can I add one more thing?
Please.
As a teacher, the new word in our lab is accountability, too. And I think we really narrow what we do sometimes because we're so afraid it isn't going to come off and you're going to be accountable if that kid doesn't learn to read. When you really narrow it, some of the things we care about.
That, y'all, we could get a whole subject of. And so somehow I'm responsible for all their learning doing well or not, and that really boxes us in, doesn't it? Building a sense of mutuality and self-accountability. I'm guessing some of you will say many of these on adult learning side could apply to children as well. One could teach in such modes that they grow up to be independent learners. You could facilitate that, and so they're accountable to themselves. I still have students at graduate school level say, what do you want me to put in the paper I'm writing for you? And I say, what do you want to write about? Well, they never thought, they had writing the paper for me. They're accountable to me. You're accountable to yourself. I get to listen in and read your paper. That's a treasure. I can read what you're writing and discovering for yourself. And they never thought about that they were accountable for their own learning. And people just, I mean, they're just set free and work so much harder when they're accountable for their own learning. Yeah.
I think I like to learn in almost any kind of situation. I just really enjoy being here at home. My first time and just attending all the things and really stretching my mind. But I also like to learn by doing. And I think probably I've been lately involved in a lot of learning situations that have come upon me by surprise or by accident. And I'll give you an example of one. I was involved in a Middle Eastern dance group, and I had to get a ride to an Egyptian man from Seattle to near where I live because he was going to organize our dance, an Egyptian folk dance. And out of the clear blue sky, he asked me if I had children. I said, if I had a son and a daughter, and he asked how old my daughter was. And I said, she was 11, and he said, does she have a boyfriend? And he said, well, in a few years, would you let your daughter sleep with her boyfriend? And here I am driving down the street. Well, that was the first thing I said was, well. And he's a Christian, and we got into a really fantastic discussion about how many Americans call themselves Christians, and they pair off in colors, and the whole hair is they didn't come with. So for that, it was really interesting to hear how he'd been raised as a Christian in a totally different culture, and his Christianity was just, the basis of his life, and he sees all these Americans, and it just doesn't seem to mean anything to him. And, it was really a different experience. And I've had several occasions to be with him and learning things about his culture and his country and how he views the Americans and so forth. And it's just really very interesting.
The aspect of surprise.
Yeah, it just opened up a whole something I didn't.
And that you were open for it. I think there is, if there's a kind of superior affirmation of the adult, they're not going to be scared by that. There are a lot of adults who are scared stiff of anybody different from ourselves, or a different experience, or would drop him off as quick as you could,
Well, it was really a unique experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the Lord just set that up for me, because I spent an hour listening to this man speaking in broken English, and probably an hour after we got with the rest of the group, I had to discuss with a vascular surgeon the possibility of surgery for my mother, who had just a few days before suffered a stroke. And the vascular surgeon was from India. He also spoke in broken English, and two or three other members of my family had talked to him throughout the day because I hadn't been available to a phone. And they just were just panicked because they couldn't understand what this man was talking about. But I was so intending to really hear what someone was saying that wasn't, speaking in Western Washington dialect, that I really was able to pull out a lot of information that nobody around me could figure out, or even what questions to ask.
That's fascinating. So you were also, it was also doing is sharpening your skill of listening to stuff. That's fascinating how that pulls together. Neat. Okay, let's see it.
I'll have a hard time determining where the learning begins and where the teaching starts, or vice versa.
Well, fine. You don't have to distinguish them. I don't mind if we put a slash and make it all one word.
Because I've sort of done a reverse role in my life, I would say, within the last 5 years. I went back to college, got a degree, and am now working after not having been out in the working field as a waiter for 30 years. So to me, it's always teaching, and that's always learning, no matter which side of the fence you're coming from. If you're the teacher, you're learning as you're teaching.
What's the field you've come back around into now, you said?
Well, what did I come back into? Well, I work with consumers and handling consumer problems with the Better Business Bureau.
When you went back to college, did that feel okay, like an adult thing to do?
Yeah.
That's good.
I really enjoyed it.
And we've made a lot of strides. You think just 20 years ago, when I was first in college, and we had one older person in our class, and we all thought, gee, who is this person? It's amazing where we've come in the whole field of adult learning in our society. And there is not, again, the concept, I learn this, grow up, become an adult, I'm this until I die. It's also scary, all the vocational changing that's going on in our society, but it's very, very interesting. So our identity is not tied up in being a producer, but the learning and growing and building on, and what you said a moment ago, that pulling some things together from what you had in college that now come together in a different way in your life, can be very, very helpful. Good.
Well, I think I prefer learning and experience this by actually experiencing something. I mean, doing things, I think I get much more out of doing something, even though I make a lot of mistakes in the process, rather than reading about it. you know, whether it's in a new job or if it's some kind of craft you want to learn or travel experiences, you know, I think you make mistakes in all of those things, but I think you learn from your mistakes.
And that works for you.
Experiencing it and doing it.
Some people are scared to death to do it that way. If it's, well, sure, if it's a new disease, they write five books on it first before they take one step. Huh? So we're different.
And I'm sure there are some things I wouldn't want to try.
I'll try. But knowing that that's, there are general characteristics of adult learners, but within that, because we are all created so unique and so different, there are different modes. I mean, curling up with a book.